Thanks for joining us today at Liberty City Podcast. Liberty City values each person's unique experience with faith, and we hope that this word impacts you today.
Well, how's it going, church? We want to continue today our series called You Shall Know Them By Their Fruit. And if you have a Bible, go with me to the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And by the end of this series, you probably know the scripture off by heart. It says this: But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, and the message says this: Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. Father, we pray, God, that as we come around your word, God, that you would speak. God, you would have your way. God, you would do something powerful, God, in our lives today, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I read a story once about a husband who was trying to move a calf. And this animal that weighed several hundred kilos, it was difficult to move. And the husband was having a tough job from behind trying to move this calf across his farm. The wife saw what was happening with the husband and had a brainwave and came out. And instead of helping the husband push the calf from behind, she used her wits and brains, as brilliant as she is, and she put her finger in the mouth of the calf and was able to move the calf from leading it from the front, not from pushing it from behind. In short, she focused on what the calf wanted, not on what the man wanted. In the context of the fruit of the Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit, that, my friends, is the wife. But then there's the behavior and decisions of the flesh, and that, my friends, is the husband. If we've taught anything over these last few weeks, it's about the benefit of staying connected to the vine, being connected to the Holy Spirit. Stay in step with me, the Bible says. Keep company with me, the Bible says. If we've done that, then today I would love to give you some practical tips and some practical advice on how we can continue to grow the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. There's a phrase in pop culture which says, name a more iconic duo, and then it will have a picture of an iconic duo. So for instance, it'll have like, name a more iconic duo, and then it will have like a tradesman, Canadian tradesman, with the double-double from Tim Hortons. Or it'll be like, name a more iconic duo, then it has like peanut butter and jelly, do you like sandwich? Or name a more iconic duo, then it's like Nadia and charcuterie boards. You know, it's like, name a more iconic duo, it's like Shaq and Kobe. Like, you're gonna have these pictures that illustrate the iconic combination of two things. Last we spoke was about leaning into the presence of God to bear fruit in our lives. And we use this phrase that, you can write this down, the fruit of the Spirit is a product of an intimate relationship with God, produced in us by the Holy Spirit. In other words, we pray, we seek Him, we stay planted, we stay connected to the vine, and we seek His guidance, and the fruit is as a result of His presence and our connectedness to Him. Today I would like to speak on the fruit of peace, the fruit of joy, and the fruit of self-control. And to reinforce my last message that I spoke a few weeks ago, and how brilliant was Jaden last week, absolutely wonderful, I would like to use a couple of scriptures today to reinforce my current point. If you're taking notes, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for the Spirit God gave us. You see Him at work here? You see Him at work in your life? The Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and a sound mind, or self-discipline, or in our context today, self-control. Philippians 4:7, if you're taking notes. And the peace of God. Note where that peace comes from. Note who it belongs to. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And lastly, our key scripture today, Nehemiah 8:10 says, this day is holy to the Lord our God. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you know whose joy it is and where it comes from? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Look at those phrases. The Spirit God gave us, the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. It's His Spirit, His peace, His joy. And it's Him and our connectedness to Him that bears that fruit in our lives. On the one hand, fruit is the product of an intimate relationship with God produced in us by the Holy Spirit. In other words, that's His part. But on the other hand, there is a part that we play, and that, my friends, is our part. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11, we're a bit scripture heavy today. I don't apologize for that. We are Christians, and it's a book that God wrote for us for our life, so we need to read as much of it as we can. Matthew 7, 7 to 11 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. Anyone who knocks finds. And the one who knocks, the door shall be opened." This passage is called Ask, Seek, Knock. That's the name of the passage. Ask, Seek, Knock. In other words, the passage helps illustrate our part in the finding of God's answers, receiving His goodness, and the things that He wants to give are only given to those who ask, seek, and knock. It's the asker, the seeker, the knocker that gets what God wants to give. God cares, and He is able. But friends, today, if I would like to communicate with you anything, it's this. We must do the asking. We must do the praying. We must pray bigger prayers. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27 says, speaking of running a race. So who's more qualified to talk about running races than me? Well, probably every other person who's ever run a race. It says this, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run? Let's go. But only one gets the prize." Unless, of course, you're running a virtual race against yourself. Then you're guaranteed the prize. "Run in such a way that you get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They get it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last." Now, this is the key for us today. Verse 26. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth. Verse 26. "Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No," he says, "I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave." In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying to us this, I do my part because I understand that the life I'm living, the race that I'm running is so crucial and eternally so important that I do what I can today. We talked last night as a part of our leadership team in our first Wednesday leadership gatherings. We talked about the four faces of the church, the lion, the man, the ox, and the eagle. And last night we talked about the ox. The ox is the person who's so focused on the now and wants to make a difference today. The ox could innovate and be creative, but on the other hand, the ox just wants to do something today to move the church forward. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying, I run, not like someone who doesn't have a major goal in mind. He says, I understand my cause. I understand that Jesus wants to impact the lives of many, and so I beat my body and make it my slave. I do my part. In other words, he says this, I'll do my best and let God do the rest. There's this tension, isn't there? This balance, the moving of the calf. There's our flesh and our behavior of our bodies trying to do our best to move the calf. And then there's the Holy Spirit, like that wife with the finger in the mouth of the calf, leading it gently along the way. We can be led by the Holy Spirit, full stop. We can just pray, full stop. Or we can combine the iconic duo of the Holy Spirit at work within us and then us doing everything we can to live a life in step with the Holy Spirit. Some of us only pray and do nothing. That's like avoiding paying your bills. The bills start to pile up and you're like praying, oh Lord, give me an answer. God, bring me finances. And He wants to, and He will. But it's so funny what God honors. God doesn't just honor your prayer. He honors your faith, and faith without deeds is dead. Don't let the bills pile up without making sure that you've got the income stream to support what you do. Some of us, though, only do practical things and never pray. That, my friends, the Bible calls leaning on our own understanding. A friend of mine once was addicted to gambling, and so went to the local casino. There was just one in his town, and he blacklisted himself. He bought his passport, his driver's license, and he said, if I ever step foot in this casino again, you have the right to arrest me or at least throw me off the grounds immediately. Blacklisted himself, doing everything that he can to make sure that he's fighting against the temptations of his flesh. Let's do that and partner that with prayer and connectedness to the Holy Spirit. We live in this tension. And this, my friends, is what it is to keep in step with God. Psalm 92 verse 12 says that the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Amen. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will bear fruit in old age, and they will stay fresh and green. In other words, we flourish, bear fruit, stay fresh and green. Fresh and clean. So fresh and so clean. We do those things, and all we must do is stay planted. But understand that without being planted, we cannot receive the fruit that Psalm 92 talks about. A great list of fruit, but there is our part. We do the planted part, God does the fruitful part. So let's identify our part when it comes to peace, self-control, and joy. If you're taking notes today, you can write this down. For peace in your life, for the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is peace. For peace, make lists. For peace, make lists. Have you ever had someone say to you, this is one of my favorites. In fact, I'm going to give you two of my favorites. Have you ever had someone say to you, you should worry less? Like, is this the most least helpful phrase ever? Oh, you should worry less. I'm trying, man. No one's trying to worry more. No one's going to bed at night going, ooh, I'm just trying to think of more things to worry about. We just worry. That's just what we do. It's like that other phrase, and this is another one of my favorites. Man, you look tired today. Really? That's what you're going to say to me today? I look tired? Because when you look tired, there's nothing you can do about it right now. Like, what can I do? Additionally moisturize? Like, I'm just going to put some bed oil under my eyes? Like, what can I do now? If I look tired, tell me just before I go to bed and say something like, hey, man, really good, you're going to go to sleep. You look tired. And then, great, I can fix that right now by going to sleep. When it comes to finding peace, there are phrases like that that people try and give us that just aren't helpful. But today, I want to give you a more counterintuitive, practical approach to finding peace in your life. And that is that I'm encouraging you to take the things that concern you and write them down. Health concerns, write them down. Financial worries, write them down. Broken relationships, write them down. Dealing with disappointment, write it down. The Bible says that we should present our requests to God. That we should present our requests to God. The Bible also uses the word petition. Have you ever signed a petition? Like, the worst petition that you could sign, or the least effective petition, is one that has no names on the list. Like, I'm writing a petition for, you know, doors at the office to not slam shut when I'm trying to record sermons. No one's signing that. It's just got my name on it. Maybe Jaden, maybe Nadia. It's the worst petition ever. And who are we petitioning? The landlord? But a petition that is full of thousands of names, that, my friends, is a strong petition. And so the Apostle Paul writes, present your requests to God. Petition the Lord with lists. Lists have gone out of fashion in the church. I don't know why. We just think we should just go to him just with the kind of off-the-cuff feelings of our heart. Remember when people used to always write lists about their future spouse? That's what I'm praying for. And then it went out of fashion. I'm about it. If you're looking for a spouse, make a list. Pray those things through. Write it down. Do you have challenges? Obviously you do. Do you need help? 100%. Especially if you're looking for a spouse and you're single. No, jokes. That was a shot. I'm joking. Are there things that you have that are outside of your control? Obviously, yes, yes, yes. Here are some harder questions. Do you have a prayer list? Do you pray often? Do you seek guidance? Is there a higher wisdom that you can access that you currently are not? Let me encourage you today, church. Take it to the Lord. He loves you. And if it's causing you stress and anxiety, he wants to replace that with his peace. And the best way we can do that is by bringing our request to the Lord. God, I'm struggling financially. I need you to help me break through. I need wisdom for the future. God, these relationships are breaking and falling apart. I need your help. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. Easy said than done. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. For peace in your life, make lists. my greatest lists that I have. There are two. One is prayer, one is praise. And as I identify something I need prayer for, at the moment there's probably 8 things on that prayer list, and I could probably recite them to you off by heart. I won't, because some of them are private or involve the privacy or health of other people. There are about 8 key things that I pray through on a regular basis. I look at them every day. But right next to them, in bright green, is another list. And that list is a praise list. That's the list of things that God has done already in my life. So I transfer it from prayer to praise, and it gives me faith that he'll come through again. If I didn't write the list because I was worried and anxious about how long that list might be, I would never be able to celebrate when God broke through and brought a solution for that prayer list in the first place. For peace, make lists. For self-control, identify your triggers. For self-control, identify your triggers. If we come back to the calf illustration for just 1 second, the man pushing from behind and the wife easily bringing that calf forward from the front. Self-control is usually associated with the man trying to move the calf from the back. Why? I'll tell you why. Because it's in the title itself, self-control. We think that it's on us to control ourselves and remove the power of the Holy Spirit to help us and bear that fruit in our life. Hard work, done with habits. We put so much emphasis on ourselves in that journey. It's like losing weight. There is no easy way to develop self-control. There are no shortcuts. You have to put in the work. But it is really important to note that it is a fruit and that God does bring it about in our lives. But God gave us, 2 Timothy 1:7, God gave us not a spirit of timidity, but he gave us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. You need to understand that on the one hand, it is a fruit, but on the other hand, you and I have our part to play. There is the Holy Spirit leading the calf, and there is thus us pushing at the back. And for people that struggle with areas of temptation or lust or areas where you lack self-control, don't just rely on pushing hard. Know that God is helping you as well. But Proverbs 25 verse 28 says this, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. In other words, if you lack self-control, you can be overtaken by anything. We need to identify our triggers. In other words, we need to identify areas in our life where the flesh leads. Identify areas in our life where we are weak in the flesh and need help from God. You have an enemy, unfortunately. That's not great news. You have flesh. That's not great news either. And you have its desires. Not excellent news. You have an old way of thinking, but you do have the creator of heaven and earth helping you develop new ways and crucify old flesh to develop new ways of thinking and doing life. Let me give you a personal example today. There are 3 areas that I don't struggle with that I want to share with you today, and 3 that I do. The first area that I don't really struggle with is greed. I'm not really a greedy person. I don't have a lot of money and I don't need a lot of money. I probably have too many clothes and that's probably about it. I'm not a hoarder. I don't want things. I don't really care for stuff. I don't care and have a dream to have a nice car. This is not something I'm overly concerned about. Greed is not something that's taken hold of my life. Another area is public speaking. Although it's the number one fear of most people, I'm not scared of public speaking. There's an inattention and a nervousness that I think is healthy, but for the most part, it's not an issue that I struggle with. Another area is that I don't have a ton of personal insecurities. Everybody has ego and everyone has insecurities, but I haven't got a massive list of personal insecurities. Greed, public speaking, and personal insecurities are not things that I struggle with. But here are some things that I do struggle with. I struggle with dealing with disappointment. When things don't go my way, I normally take a day or two just to recalibrate and get my heart right. I do struggle with the fact that I need to be right. In an argument or a discussion, I have an insatiable desire to have the last word and want to be right on any issue. And the third area that I struggle with is that I struggle with being terse with people when I haven't had enough sleep. Grumpy, sleepy Levi, or Levi that hasn't had enough sleep, he's not a nice guy to be around. Unless, of course, I can identify that it's happening and do something about it. I just listed 6 characteristics in my life personally. Some strengths and some weaknesses. all of which need my ongoing attention. Because if any of them starts to spin out of control, they have the ability through a lack of self-control to take over my life. Like a city without walls is like a person without self-control. So I identify my triggers. I identify my bedtime, how much sleep I'm getting. I identify if a conversation is getting too adversarial, if my need to be right, and I identify if there's disappointment creeping into my heart. Identify your triggers. Make sure that they are clear. Make sure that you drive your life as far away from anything that can derail you as possible. For instance, we have two signatory sign off on our board. We have a board that sets the budget for the church for the next 12 months. So I'm involved in that process, but it's set up in such a way that it won't derail me or give me too much power. I don't drive alone with women. It's not that I don't like driving alone with women. It's just that I prefer not to make sure that I'm setting up my life so that there's nothing that can be ensued or no bad decisions that I can make in those scenarios. I try and set up parameters and self-control in my life. I have mentors that can speak into my life. I've created friendships where it's okay to call one another out in love. Identify areas where you need self-control or areas where you might need self-control. Identify where you are weak. Identify where your flesh leads. Identify where you might fall short. Don't beat yourself up. There are some areas where you might be strong right now. I'm strong in that I don't create emotional attachments with the opposite gender, and that's fine. But there might come a time when I'm so full of pride about that strength in my life that it can be an Achilles heel. And so I set up those parameters to make sure that I don't fall short in the future. Don't beat yourself up about it. Acknowledge it. Put the work in. It's like moving that calf. Don't just be the guy doing all the work from behind. Acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is leading you at the same time. The Holy Spirit is at work in your life. Be the husband in the story, though, and put in the work and do your part. For peace, make lists. For self-control, identify your triggers. And for joy, smile more. For joy, smile more. Nehemiah 18 says, "This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Bible says that there's a river flowing from the throne room of God. And the river gets deeper the further away it goes from the throne. Imagine the quality of that water. Imagine the purity of the water that's flowing from God's throne room. The depth of joy and forgiveness and mercy and grace, kindness, love and joy that's in that water. Do you remember Willy Wonka, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? I can't remember, it was the older one, not the new one with Johnny Depp, but the first one. And you have like the uncle or the grandfather and you have Charlie and they go and they drink that fizzy lifting drink. And as soon as they drink the fizzy lifting drink, they float to the ceiling and it gets scary for a minute, but the drink has an instant impact on their life. I kind of think that the Holy Spirit and God's presence is just like that. That when it comes to joy, when it comes to God's presence, the moment that it touches my life, I'm instantly bettered and I float as a result of God's presence in my life. But when it comes to joy, we also have our part to play and not just rely on His part in our lives. Don't get me wrong, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Lord is your strength. However, there is a part that you and I have to play. It is very hard to be joyful when you're always negative. It is very hard to be joyful when you're constantly entitled. It is very hard to be joyful when you're pretentious. It is very hard to be joyful when you're always critical. It is very hard to be joyful when cynicism is your default. So for joy, smile more. For joy, wear rose-tinted glasses. For joy, see the glass half full. For joy, make sure that you make decisions every day to look on the bright side. Every cloud has a silver lining. Don't ignore the fact that there's a cloud. It's bad news. This health report, it's not great. Like I'm struggling. Don't ignore the fact that there's a cloud, but for every cloud, see a silver lining. Realize that God can use any scenario for good. Realize that He is in control and He is dragging you. He is bringing you forward into your future and He wants to bless you, has a plan to prosper you. But acknowledge that you have your part. Some of us have been baptized in prune juice. Grumpy, surly, terse with people, not nice to be around, never smile. Like, man, I understand that you might be grappling with anxiety. I understand that things are not easy in your life. I get it. It's the same in my life too. But at the end of the day, God has saved my life. He's given me a hope today. And I get to live forever with Him in heaven. This, my friends, is not the okay news. It's not the not bad news. How you going? Not bad. It's not bad news. It's great news. It's good news. The gospel of Jesus has changed our life. We can try it this week. Smile more. I think if you try to smile more, have rose-tinted glasses, be optimistic, see the glass half full, I guarantee you this week that you will see the fruit of joy come into fruition in your life. Every cloud, my friend, has a silver lining. This week I had a puncture in my front right tire. It happens. I saw it was like a thumbtack or like, you know, I drove over something. A friend of mine recently, in fact, drove over a milkshake blender, like with all the like claws. Like, how funny is that? Then I got a puncture after laughing at him. That's, you know, whatever, irony, sure. And I got a puncture. And so I'm like, oh, well, you know. But I left it because I thought if I just leave it, it'll go away. It's not going away. And it's just been slowly leaking. And every time, and I'm like, oh, I've got to get it to the mechanic. I've got to change my tire. I've got to do the winter tire, you know, change over at the same time. I'll kind of culminate this perfect storm of car issues. And so I'm like, you know, going to like fill up in the tire inflator every day. But the tire inflator on Beechwood at the Shell station costs $1.50 to get going. So every time I go, it's $1.50. I would have probably three or four times I've been doing it over the last 10 days, just getting it up and then it slowly inflates. And then I was running with Taylor, and at Taylor's place, like in the Glebe, in this car park, there's a tire inflator that is free. Oh, happy days. Like, I just saved myself $1.50. Like, I'm probably just going to use that $1.50 and buy an almond milk flat white this week and totally just blow it on some caffeine. However, how good is it? I've got a puncture in my tire, man. It could at any moment be flat. But every cloud has a silver lining. I have found, for the future of mankind and our church, a tire inflator in the Glebe that is free. Every cloud has a silver lining. For everything you face, rose-colored glasses. For everything, every issue that you walk through, the glass is half full. For peace, make lists. For self-control, identify your triggers. But for joy, this week, try it. Smile more.
Amen. We are so glad you joined us at Liberty City Podcast. Please come check us out on social media and find an event to connect with us.